You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it'll be read on the air. Or you can be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot of the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are delighted to be with you today and hope that the things that we share with you will be helpful to you as you continue your journey as a student of the Bible. Again, this is a live radio call-in broadcast. If you have a question on your heart and you are seeking a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead and give us a call right now at the station, 308-9564, 308-9564. Today, we want to talk a little bit about lying. You know, the Bible talks a great deal about lying, and I think that there's probably no one out there that's not plagued by this disease. We all, at some point in our life, have been guilty of lying. The scripture says something interesting in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it talks about all those who have their place in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. The Bible talks about this being the second death. And as it talks about this, it gives a listing of people. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters," and the key phrase here, it says, "and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so today we want to take a look at this idea of all liars. What is meant when God talks about all liars? And we understand what's going to happen to all liars, so it's important for you and I to understand who falls into that category. And is there something that you and I can do to prevent ourselves from being part of that particular category? Again, if you'd like to join us right now in our discussion, you can call 308-9564, 308-9564. So we have a couple of questions before we get started, a couple of questions from last week that we want to go ahead and answer. Ricky?
Yes, again, we do want you to know you can call in right now. The number 308-9564. The lines are available right now. You can call in your question as we are dealing with these left over from last week. Go ahead right now. We have an operator standing by here to take your question, have it written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. The choice is yours. Again, 308-9564. We have Doug calling in last week and asking about marriage, and he says, "What should the non-adulterous party do?" Question mark. Should they move on or should they stay and try to make things work? Well, Doug, actually, that is something that you have to decide. I will just point out to you that God, in his marriage with Israel, stayed on and tried to make the marriage work. That is depicted in the book of Hosea. The whole book is where God told Hosea to go and marry an adulterous woman, a harlot, and which he did. They had children, or at least she had children, and some of them probably were not even Hosea's children. And thus she was adulterous. And Hosea did, as he, through symbolism, plays the part of God, He hung in there. He went and tried to convince her to not continue to do such activity. He goes on and tries to get her to stop such activity as that. He even courts her. He promises her a second honeymoon. And then when she, because of her activity, ended up even becoming a slave, he even went and bought her back from slavery in order to try and get her to behave herself. And so that was the part, the more noble part, the part that God played with the children of Israel, showing how much he loves and how much he appreciates and wants his mate, in that case Israel, in our case it would be us, but he wants us to repent. He wants us to straighten up and to do what is right. And so if you want the more noble path, then I would say to take the path that God did there in the book of Hosea. Now, you have every right, if that is impossible to work out. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9 shows that there is an exception to the rule that you can a divorce for the cause of adultery, and that would be acceptable. But if you want the more noble path, then it would be to play the part that Hosea played there in the book of Hosea. It's a smaller book, a smaller prophet book in the Old Testament. You will probably want to read the whole thing and to study it, and you'll see just how patient and loving and forgiving he was throughout the whole ordeal. So, Doug, I hope that helps you a little bit. If you want more information on that, you can call us 308-9564. Or if someone else has a question today you'd like to call in right now, you can call right now at 308-9564. And we'll be glad to let the Bible speak. We'll take our first break right quick, and then we will be right back with the second question. And but we want you to know, you can go ahead and call in right now, even while we're at break, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. Please take a moment to write this number down, 308-9564. You can call 843-308-9564 during the program to ask your questions live on the air. Or have someone read it on the air for you, and we'll answer it. Call now before the lines fill up. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
We're back with again today. We want to talk about a lying and on the various types of lies and how we might avoid that. Again, we mentioned earlier that we had a few questions, and the second question that's left over from last week comes from Elton. Elton Morgan. Before I read this question, though, I want to encourage you to go ahead and call in right now. If you have a Bible question or a question that's on your heart and you're looking for a Bible answer, go ahead and give us a call. That number to call is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Elton says, how can you be against innocent life? And the second part of the question is, should we support our president because he is for abortion? And so I like to try to answer this in two parts if I could. The first part says, how can you be against innocent life? Well, we ought not be against innocent life. I'm confident that we all understand the scripture teaches us that we should not murder. And so I think that's fairly self-explanatory. So we should not be against innocent life. The biggest part of this question is the second part where it says, should we support our president because he is for abortion? Well, Elton, our challenge is this. Will we support any president if we pick out perhaps something that they are for that we perceive to be wrong? Will we support a president that believes in lying because we've had presidents like that? Will we support presidents that believe in adulterous behavior because we've had presidents like that? And so what we can do is begin to get into where they stand spiritually as a means to determine whether or not we're going to do what we're supposed to do in our submission to government. But rather, we have to submit to the will of God. With that, I give you a couple of passages. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Peter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. We have to respect the offices that have been set up. We may not respect those who are in the office because of what they may be doing and what they might be for, what they might be against. but we must respect the government offices, the office of the president. We must submit to their ordinance for as long as their ordinance is in keeping with the will of God. And then also there's 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Therefore I exhort first upon all," Paul says, "that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Now, you think he really means all men? All men? But yes, absolutely all men. In verse 2, he says, "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence." And so God absolutely wants us to be prayerful for all those who are in authority. Again, that we might lead quiet, peaceable lives. I believe we have a caller live. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, you're there? Do we have, we're still trying? Okay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello?
We're still not getting you.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, Morgan, are you there? All right, we're still working this out.
I'm here.
And
can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you are addressing my question.
Yes.
But I called in to sort of like clarify it, because when I called in last Sunday, it was like the tail end of the broadcast. And the main issue is this. Now, I'm not going to say I think, because I'm convicted by the Holy Ghost that this is true. And I believe what God tells one believer, he tells all. I am totally convicted that we as born-again Christians, beginning with pastors first, ought not to partake in politics. Now, the reason why I'm convicted, because it's not about future politicians or former politicians doing wrong or doing right, because these people are not born-again Christians. They are of the world. Now, the Bible does tell us to pray for those in authority. That is understanding. Kings, queens, you know, pray for all of those in authority, including presidents. But the Bible does not tell us to pray for them, because when you pray for them, you are a partaker. And once you have cast your vote, you cannot take away that. You know, and whatever president is elected, they are elected as a result of your vote.
Elton, let me ask you a quick question. Let me chime in here. Do you have a passage of scripture that supports that position?
But the Bible says we are of the world. I mean, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. According to Romans 12, chapter 2nd verse, it says, be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So therefore, we cannot be conformed to the world, because if we be conformed to the world, and politics is along with it, then we have to do exactly what they say. Yes, we are to obey the law of the land, but what would you do if a police officer tells you to do something that would you would have to compromise your conviction? What do you think God would tell you to do? When the Apostle Paul and Peter were preaching in the streets, they told the officers that they ought to obey God rather than man. So that's scripture.
Yes, we've got to be motivated by God's word and God's word alone. And when we are serving Him and we're doing what His word says, and part of what His word says is it does tell us that we are to pray for those that
right.
are in power.
But it don't tell us to vote.
Well, there's no voting in the first century.
What I'm saying, sir, is that I understand the political process in terms of voting. That's a privilege. But all I'm saying, I believe that those scriptures are for the people that are of the world.
Okay.
Now, we are not of the world. So therefore, if you're going to partake in something like that, let's say, in other words, you can use second liturgical holidays and so forth. You know,
okay, well, let me try to fix your comment. Okay,
we can pray for them, but the Bible never told us to vote for them. Once they are in authority, then we pray that they do the right thing. But
okay.
If you want to vote, then we are helping them to get into that authority. That's what I'm saying. So we are a partaker. The Bible says, tells me in 1 Timothy 5 and 22, be not a partaker of another man's sin. And sin is sin. Wrong
okay.
is wrong.
And Elton, again, let us at least speak to your comment. And again, we appreciate your calling. And for those of you who are listening, again, our encouragement is that you call. If you want to make a comment, make a comment. If you have a question, ask a question. Give us the opportunity to at least go to the scriptures and answer those questions. So again, let me speak to that. you brought up two passages, one in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, which talks about not being conformed to the world, but being transformed, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, that says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so both of those passages are right. We are not to conform to the world. We're not to be in fellowship with unbelievers. But again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 talks about praying for those in authority. And then also we looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, about being submissive to laws, the laws of the land, governors, presidents. Again, like you said, you're correct. Doesn't tell us to vote, but once someone's in that office, we must submit to the office. Not submit to sin, not share in sin, but simply submit to the will of God. Again, we appreciate you calling. I believe we have another caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Charles, are you there? 1 second. Let's say Charles.
Now, Elton, again, I think we've established that you cannot, we're not talking politics, we're not talking about voting. Again, who we vote for, who we choose to vote for, that's our choice. And we're having a little bit of difficulty with our phone system here, so we're going to apologize. We agree with you, Elton, that, again, the Bible's not talking about who we vote for. You get to choose who you're going to vote for, and you should be motivated by God's word to make your decision. But now you can't pick for someone else, and I can't pick for you. We have to let God's word motivate us and convict us, and thus we move to select who we're going to select. But concerning supporting the office of the president or the office of government, God says that we have to submit to the ordinance of the land, the law of the land, as long as it's in keeping with the will of God. Okay?
I think we had Charles on the line, and somehow we lost him, and he was bringing out about some scriptural help on emptiness. He recently was baptized, and how to change his life was of concern to him, and so he was wanting to know how he might better fill his life with Christ-likeness. Well, first of all, Charles, I do want you to hope and pray that you are still listening, and I hope and pray that you are continuing this devotion in serving the Lord. And so that's one thing. First of all, you make up that mind to serve the Lord and to find his word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, give diligence to showing yourself approved unto God, to be a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. And I would also direct you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. That's 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. Where it says, giving all diligence, add to your patience virtue, and to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity or love. And if you do these things, and they are abound in you, then you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of God. And then it goes on to say, if you will continue in these things, you will never fall. And so pay special attention to that list and all the meaning associated with each one of those. That will certainly help you. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says that whatsoever things were written afore or before were written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So that's one thing you should also be very much aware of, how God's people in Old Testament times stayed faithful to God and the diligence that they applied, the faith that they showed, as listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Those were remarkable examples that God points out there of how they stayed faithful. And so those were several things that we can do. There's a whole lot more. Charles, if you'll call the operator standing by, we'll be glad to send you some information on that. And be sure when you call, be sure to ask for, I want the information on how to grow in the Lord. And that number, 553-5157. That's 553-5157. And we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge, along with a correspondence course if you'd like to enroll in that as well. Again, that number is 553-5157. Matter of fact, it's time for our break. Why don't we just take a break, and it gives you that information again. And, again, those of you that are wanting your calls your answers today on the program. You can call here in the process as well. That number here is 308-9564, and here's the number and information for the Bible course and the free information that we're sending out. Here's the information. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we're back live again. We really do want you to enroll in that. If you've never enrolled in the correspondence course before, we're glad to send that to you free of charge. And please don't hesitate to send it, to call, and we'll be glad to send it to you. The number here is the station, 308-9564. You can call in your question right now. We do have a line available, so go ahead and call right now if you have a question. We have Ben that just called in, and we've got a couple of people, Charles and Ben, this afternoon that are so sincere, and they're wanting to serve the Lord with their whole heart. We commend you, and we thank you for taking out time this afternoon to tune in to study God's Word with us as we let the Bible speak. Ben's question is this. He asked concerning Philippians 4 and verse 8. His question is, how do I really do this? Well, those of y'all who do not know that verse, here's what it says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so God's wanting us to change the way we think and the way we feel about things. And so, Ben, I want you to stay tuned. We're going to go ahead and go to our live caller, and then I'm going to come right back to this after this call. So stay tuned, and we're going to be talking about that every spare moment. The rest of the program will be talking about how to answer your question, which is really good. So stay tuned, Ben. We're going to go now to our live caller, and then we'll come back to this in just a moment. Okay, we have a caller live. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Yes, how can we help you?
Sir, my question is regarding alcohol. I know the word says something about touch not the unclean thing, and at times I've had people who don't know the Lord as their personal Savior bring up about the fact that Christ turned water into wine at a wedding. Now, I guess what I'm kind of alluding to is that where is it that basically says that we as believers or those who know the Lord as our personal Savior should not be drinking alcohol?
Okay, well, the Bible doesn't say that. You're right.
Yes.
Go ahead. Yeah. The Bible doesn't say that. It says that we should be sober, be not drunk with wine. And so it doesn't alcohol as we understand it today that is distilled and fortified and such was not even, I don't even think it was imagined back in the first century when the Bible was written. It is so strong now, they wouldn't even have called, I don't know what they would have called it. Strong drink back then was considered fully fermented grape juice.
Okay.
And so that would have been at the most like 20%, and that would have been an extra strong or extra good crop. And so Today, that's almost, in some realms, that's even considered, I don't even know how to call it, but a light drink. I don't know if that's the correct way to refer to it. But back then, that would have been called strong drink, and only winos could have drunk it because it tasted like vinegar.
Okay.
And so they would have to mix it with water and to dilute it many times in order to make it palatable. But that was, hey, you could drink a lot of that before you would get drunk. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, we have the apostles being accused of being drunk when they were speaking with tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Peter answered their accusation was, these men are not drunk, as you suppose, being that it is only the third hour of the day, or what we call 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And so that satisfied them. In other words, you can't get drunk that quick. So that satisfied the crowd, and that argument answered that accusation without further discussion of the matter.
Okay.
And so the drink that we have today is entirely much, much, many times more powerful than anything that they had in the first century. And so so now that comes back to our first question. What about alcohol? The Bible doesn't mention alcohol. It mentions strong drink.
Mm-hmm.
It mentions new wine. And it does say very clearly, be sober.
Right. Okay.
And just to add to that, a couple of passages of scriptures in Titus chapter 2, as Ricky mentioned, it does say be sober. You find in Titus chapter 2 Paul's instruction to the aged women or the older women, the older men, and also the young men. And he says in verse 6, Titus chapter 2, verse 6, he says, likewise, exhort the young man to be sober-minded. You'll find passages like there in Titus chapter 2, if you just read verses 1 through about 8, you'll see that the men were told to be temperate. This is the idea of to be sound in mind, to be self-controlled. And again, strong drink takes away that self-control. Ricky mentioned Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, which talks about, you know, don't be filled with wine where in excess or to be drunk, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then finally, there's 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter 4 and verse 3, where Peter tells these Christians that they spent enough of their time, you know, partying and getting drunk and carrying on in this manner. He says in 1 Peter 4, verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles or pagans. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
He says when we walk in lewdness and lust and drunkenness, and revelries, and drinking parties, and abominable idolatry. And so not only does he key in on drunkenness, but he keys in on those things that typically are associated with drunkenness. And all those things we are to avoid. What we can't know is if I take that first drink, what is that going to cause? What is that going to lead to? I can't know that if I drink that first drink, you know, will I take that second one? Am I now tempting this non-drinker or a person who cannot handle it? Am I now exposing my children to perhaps a potential dangerous habit? But all these things help to aid us in making a sound decision as to whether or not we should do it.
Right.
Does that help?
All right. Yeah, thank you so much. That sure helps a lot.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you for listening today. The number here, 308-9564. The lines are now available, 308-9564, and we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Let's spend a couple more minutes on this question from Ben. And that is based upon Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where he asks, how do we apply that awesome verse of Scripture, one of which that if some of y'all made it your personal goal this year to control yourself, just like this passage says, that would be a worthy goal for the year 2009. And some of these things it brings out, whatsoever things are true. Now, the end of the verse says, meditate or dwell, consider these things. And so we should let our mind be wrapped around each of these as we try to serve our Lord. And so he says that we should be thinking about things that are true. Now, a good way to understand what it means is, what's the opposite of true? Well, false. That's right. And so if something is false, what is it that upsets us more, truth or false? What is it that stirs us? Well, falsehood, obviously. And so is it good for us to be thinking about those falsehood things? Well, no, it's not good for us. It hurts our health. It hurts our attitude. It hurts our disposition. And so what we need to do is to let us think about those things that are true. Okay. And so that's one thing. But don't dwell on, don't consider things that are false. Okay, we'll go to the rest of these in just a moment. I believe we have another caller standing by. And I believe you're on the air. Can we help you? Okay, go ahead and turn your radio down so there won't be an echo. All right, you're on the air. How can we help you? Pam, are you there? Okay, turn your radio down so we can hear you.
Okay.
All right. How can we help you?
Yes. I have a question in regards to being blessed and highly favored. Who would you recommend to do that? Because a lot of people usually say, well, hey, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored.
Okay, you still didn't turn your radio down, and so it's confusing us. So, blessed and highly favored, is that your question?
Yes.
And what does that mean in the Bible?
Correct. Who would you consider to be blessed and highly favored?
All right.
I know that we aren't.
All right. Well, we will go ahead and see what we can find about that, and go ahead and listen to us on the radio, and we'll hang up for now, okay? All right. Thank you for calling. All right, blessed and highly favored. That is, I guess I've ever been asked that question before. I was doing a quick search on the words and did not see anything. Nick, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to chime in. Part of your question, it sounds like you want to know who would that be used towards. You know, who's blessed? You know, who would we commend such a blessing to? Well, in 2 John 1:9, the Bible says, whoever transgressed and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deed. Now, some of your translation says, neither should you bid him Godspeed. And that's the idea of this idea of blessing them. And notice that the Bible sets forth his boundary. The boundary is, those who stay within the boundary of the Word of God. You know, they don't transgress. They don't go beyond the doctrine of Christ. And so those would be the ones that should be blessed. Not blessed by us in particular, but blessed by God. Now, all of God's people, all of God's children, as long as they're walking in the light, 1 John 1:8, as long as they're walking in the light, as he is in the light, then they are absolutely obtaining God's blessings and they're attaining God's favor. In Ephesians 1, it talks about all the blessings that God have being found in one location, and that's in Christ. And sometimes we think of blessings as being, you know, physical blessings, and sometimes in our lives, when things don't go quite as well as we want it, you know, we think that we're not being blessed physically, but that may not be the case. Again, it may be that sometimes the hardships that we face are in fact blessings because they help us to learn to deal with the other challenges that may come across in our lives. They also help us to help others who may be seeking God. I believe we have
wanted to add in something there. I did find that phrase in one translation in Luke 1:28, and that was talking about Mary as she was highly favored with the Lord and blessed among women, and that was Luke 1:28. And, of course, that was singled out because she became the mother of the Lord. And so that was a special favor that was given to her because she was carrying the Lord and to be the mother of all creation. So that obviously that wouldn't apply to everyone today. Okay, we're trying to juggle more than one call at a time here, and that is creating a little challenge for us. And so we do want you to know that that as we are trying to look and see, would Christians be blessed and highly favored? Well, when you look in Ephesians 1:2-3, there are a list of verses or the whole list of things that are applying to those that are Christians, those that are in Christ. Matter of fact, in those three chapters, the last time we studied through them, we came up with over 50 things that are applying to Christians, those that are saved, those that are in the body of Christ. Those things would not be applicable to those that are not in Christ. So it starts out with 1:3, where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So then it goes on from there and 50 more things. And so hopefully that has been helpful to you a little bit. And that way, yes, everybody that's in Christ is blessed and is highly favored. I believe we have a call live standing by right now, and so we want to go ahead and go to that call, and hopefully that was helpful to our last caller. All right, is it Ben? Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, how can we help you, Ben?
I was listening to the sister in Christ. She asked a question, what does it mean to be blessed and highly favored?
Yes.
Okay, blessing means that when you're in Christ, you're blessed means that you are happy in Christ. And highly favored, I mean, highly favored means that when you are favored with God, God has given you favor.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And the favor and the blessings that are in Christ.
Well, I'm from God Almighty.
Yes, they are from God, and they're listed. They're actually a whole long list of over 50 things in Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3. Are you the Ben that called in and asked about Philippians 4:8 as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we haven't stopped working on that. We're still going to expand on that more today.
Thanks a lot.
All right, well, thank you for calling today. Certainly do appreciate you. Well, thank you, and you too, and may the Lord bless you as we continue to study together. Again, we are you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. The number here is 308-9564. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break to give you information on how you can enroll in a correspondence course. And be sure to do this. If you've never enrolled in this, we're more than happy to send this to you because we want you to study the Word of God to show yourself approved to Him as we prepare to meet Him face to face. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor His disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to dial a Bible study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We're back live now, and the lines are now available as well. The number 308-9564, and we'll be glad to let your question be next in line. We're in the process of going through Philippians 4:8. Ben called in this question earlier, and so it was so good we decided to devote every spare moment to the rest of the rest of the broadcast to this. And but you can call right now your question and interrupt 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart and on your mind. 308-9564. What was the second one there, Nick? The second thing that we're supposed to think about in Philippians 4:8.
Finally, brother, what sort of things that are true, what sort of things are noble or honest is the idea, what sort of thing that's honest. And so the Bible teaches us that we ought to be devoting ourselves to honesty. Again, our program today is talking about lying and what's going to happen to all liars. Well, what God would have us do is to tell the truth on every occasion. You know, we might be asking ourselves the question, you know, why do so many of us feel the need to lie? Why do we get away from being honest? Well, oftentimes it's because we don't trust God and trust His Word. You know, sometimes it's easier just to tell a lie as opposed to tell the truth. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we need to respond to that situation, but we don't know how. And so we instead of telling the truth, instead of doing what is honest, we do what is not honest, what is dishonest. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to set our mind to tell the truth on every occasion, without exception. The book of Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." We have to get to a point in our lives where we fully trust the word of God and allow that to be what we'll speak on every occasion. I believe we have a caller live. Go ahead, caller. We'll come back to this Philippians chapter 4, verse 8.
Yes, is this Edmonia?
Yes.
Yes.
I have a question. I moved here recently from another state, and I have not found a church that I feel real good in yet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know the Spirit of the Lord is there, but I'm searching for a church home.
Yeah.
Now, while I'm doing this, am I getting farther away from him by not attending a church because I haven't found the one that I feel is the right one yet?
Well, you don't want to be in fellowship with something that would be wrong. But at the same time, you do want to seek out and find a group of God's people that are worshiping according to the Bible and following the Bible alone, because that is the only place that the Lord would be pleased. When you look and see how he judged and wrote to the seven churches of Asia in Revelation 2 and 3, he looked at every single church and judged them on the basis of how pure they were, toward some that were allowing things to be taught, some to overrule the group. And so, yes, God is concerned about the churches that are out there that would promote his name but yet not follow his word. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so you need to find one that is following his word alone. So I don't know if you're in the Goose Creek area, but if you are, then you can call the operator standing by, and we'll be glad for you to check us out to see if that's something that you would see. If there's something we often do at the beginning of each of our services, we tell people, well, if we say or do something that's wrong, point it out to us in the Bible, we'll change. Because to God be true, and we are human, we'll make mistakes. And so we have to continually change based upon his word. And the number for the operator standing by is 553-5157.
Okay, I just call it order of the Bible series through now.
All right.
Okay, I have one other quick question. Sure. I always quote this to other people that it's written that God does not like for us to mumble, grumble, or complain because it hurts his feelings.
Uh-huh.
And I cannot remember where I found that in read that in the Bible, or it was told to me that it was in the Bible. Do you know where that's located?
Just give me a moment, and we'll give it to you.
Okay.
Well, let's see. John chapter 6 and verse 43 brings out Jesus was talking to the people there. It said, "Do not murmur among yourselves." And then there's several more.
Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 says to do all things without murmuring,
yes,
and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you are supposed to shine as a light in the world. And so again, there it says, you know, do everything without murmuring and disputing.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling, Edmonia.
I believe we have another live caller. Before we go to that call, I just want to encourage our listeners, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. DeWanda, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, how can we help you?
I have a couple questions. My first question is this. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you." And then when you go to Romans, it says that the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it is love, you know, joy and peace in the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know whether, you know, is the kingdom of God a place? I mean, what actually is the kingdom of God?
Okay, very good question. Do you have a pencil? Do you write these down?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here I go. Jesus says in John 18 and verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world, for if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I not be delivered to the Jews." Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21 says, "The kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And so both of those verses describe the kingdom of God as something not like that made of gold or silver or even bone or flesh or even empires and borders. It's talking about our spiritual relationship with God and the spiritual high places as we serve Him. And so we give God our hearts and we serve Him with our souls and mind and strength. We love Him. And thus, even when Jesus was on the cross, the thief, after penitence, after he repented, said, "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Now, he's looking over there on the other cross, and he's seeing a man just gasping for breath and suffering the same as he is, if not more so. And he tells him, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." So obviously, it is not made of flesh and blood or something with borders or something you could look at or a physical throne in any way. It is not of this world, John 18, verse 36. So when we give our lives to the Lord, then we become part of His kingdom. And the way we do that is not like you commonly hear. The way we do that is the way God says, and that is when we become a child of God through belief, and when we repent of our sins, Luke 13, 3, confess or make that determination, "I'm going to believe with all my heart the Lord," Romans 10, verse 10. Then when we are baptized into Christ, then we die to ourselves, so it's not of this flesh anymore. We rise to walk in newness of life, and thus we belong to Him. Paul put it in Galatians 2:20. He says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Does that help? I know I threw a lot at you there. Are you still there? Okay. Somehow we, I hope you were listening and able to follow that. Somehow I think we must have gotten cut off in the process. Sometimes the cell phones get interfered in a number of other things. But so those are several verses dealing with the kingdom of God that is not commonly taught today, because there's a lot of religions that are teaching that the kingdom of God has not been set up yet. But Paul himself said that he was in the kingdom, Colossians chapter 1, and verse 13. And he's been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And so Paul was in the kingdom. John was in the kingdom. Revelation 1 and verse 9 refers to that. And then Hebrews 12, verse 28 says, "Receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may receive this kingdom." And so they were receiving it back then. It was not a physical kingdom with physical thrones. It was a spiritual kingdom. And everybody that belongs to Christ, that's in Christ, is a subject in that kingdom.
To join us right now, if you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564. Just want to say to all the callers, thanks for calling today. Again, we appreciate it. We still have time, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Time for us to take another break, so we'll be right back. We'll go ahead and call even while we're at break, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor His disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to dial a Bible study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Today we started talking about things that pertain to lying, and Ben was gracious enough to call and to ask a question about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. We thought it was such a good question that we would pursue that a little bit, looking at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and how we might truly apply it. How can I make that real in my life? In Philippians 4 and verse 8, we got to talking about this idea of what are things that are noble or honest. And so we're talking about this idea of being honest, and how do I make that real in my life? And really, it's simple. It's the idea that I have to tell the truth on every occasion. And sometimes what we'll do, we'll make excuses not to tell the truth, but we should always tell the truth. Don't let any excuse stop you from telling the truth or doing what is noble. A couple of passages along that line is Romans chapter 12, verse 17. It says, repay no man evil for evil, but provide things honest in the sight of all men. Also, Romans chapter 13 and verse 13 tells us to walk honestly, as in the day, not in riotness or the drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness. Again, this idea of walking in honesty. That's something that we have to set our mind to, that I'm going to tell the truth every time without exception, and I want to hear the truth every time without exception. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Again, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Ricky, you want to take the next one?
Yes, the next one. Let me remind our callers that we are a live broadcast, and you can call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. The number, 308-9564, and we'll be glad to take your question. It can be written down, or you can go live on the air, 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak. We've already gone over whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just. How do we think about things that are just? Well, first of all, we need to be just ourselves, and the only way that we can become just is by the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from our sins. We have got to arise and obey His word, believing in Him, repenting of our sins, confessing as our faith in Him, as the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as the eunuch did as well, they went down into the water, and he was immersed. Paul puts it this way. He was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22, verse 16. Even Jesus, as before he went back into heaven, he told the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so we've got to understand the whole package is including baptism. If that was not part of the package when you became a child of God and you felt that you were saved at one point and then baptized at another time, then I would encourage you to take another look at God's Word and find more information about that, because that was part of the conversion process. And if you didn't, even if you were dunked 100 times and it was not because in obedience to God, because God said that's where your sins are washed away, then I would suggest that you might consider more on what God's Word says about that. Again, those were verses Acts 22 and verse 16, and also consider Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, and that talks about the role and how that we rise to walk in newness of life, and thus we are just. Now, how do we think about those things that are just? Well, the opposite of that word, I find it easier to understand how many unjust things do we commonly think about. Oh, that was just a tragedy, what happened to so-and-so. And, oh, that was so unjust how that they were mistreated. And, well, see, those are headline news. If it doesn't bleed, then it doesn't lead. And so that's what we commonly call news today. But the Lord doesn't want us to be meditating on those things. If we're going to apply this verse, we need to think about things that are just. And the next one, think about things that are pure. What sort of things are pure? Nick, what does that mean?
Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, we have this again, Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount. And he makes this appeal. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, that word pure from the Greek, it simply means clean. And thus, we have to be people who are clean or cleansed, pure, and in the truest sense. There should be no deceit. In John chapter 1, verse 47, the Bible shows how that Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." There is no deceit. Here's a man that's pure. And that's what God is looking for, people who are pure. Again, as Ricky mentioned earlier, the best way to understand these words is just to flip the opposite. You know, what is it to be unpure, you know, unclean? You know, then I might be a person who's deceitful, a person who's going to cheat, a person who's going to rob, a person who's going to lie, a person who's going to steal or try to get anything that I can get through dishonest gain. And those are the things that I have to put off. And thus put on this mindset that I'm going to do what is right.
Wouldn't that include sexual things as well?
Well, absolutely. The Bible talks about sexual immorality as one of the things that we should put off. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gives a list of things that, as you know, when a person obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, they are called to change their lives. They're called to live differently. They're called to walk differently. In Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about some things that we ought to put off. What we're supposed to put on. One of the things we put on in verse 24 is a new man, which is a created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And in verse 25, we're supposed to put away lying. So what does it mean to be pure? Well, I'm going to put away lying. He says, be angry and do not sin, verse 26. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. So I'm going to put away stealing. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. If the corrupt word proceeds out of your mouth, trust me, it didn't start in your mouth. It started in your heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Purity starts in the heart. And so all types of sins, including sexual sins, they all start in the heart. Again, if you'd like to join us right now, you can. 308-9564. You have a question and you're seeking the Bible answer. We want to go to God's Word for that answer. 308-9564. Give us a call and we will go and see what God's Word has to say.
And we do want you to know that the free offer still stands, and we're more than happy to send you this Bible correspondence course in the mail. There's an operator standing by right now at 553-5157. And they will take your information, and we'll be glad to send this to you in the mail. And again, of course, it is free of charge. This is something that we do as our gratitude to our Lord and Savior, that is who takes care of the expense involved with this. We're more than happy to send this to you so that you can find the treasures that the Lord has bestowed upon us. That number again, 553-5157. Well, the next item listed in the Philippians 4:8 that we should be concerned with, what sort of things are lovely? Well, that's easy for me to envision, because I can just think of my wife, and that is one of the most lovely things that I know of in this life. Of course, there's a lot of things that are lovely, aren't there? Flowers, babies, a sunset, a sunrise, and many other things that you might think of that are lovely. How can we apply this? Well, let's let our mind be toward those things that are lovely. Let our attention be placed upon those instead of the unlovely, lovely, or what commonly referred to as ugly, the ugly things. But yet, what is it that often grabs our attention? Ugliness. The ugliness of mankind, the ugliness of behavior, the ugliness of the way things unfold from day to day. But rather, the Lord would have us to be thinking about things that are lovely. And so we should be thinking about things that are that will build us up and not cause, if you will, mental cancer to occur in our minds to where it is actually deterring us and taking us down. And so lovely, what sort of things are lovely? The Lord would have us to dwell upon. And so we want to make certain that we're thinking about those things. Then the next thing he mentions in this passage is, what is a good report? Well, what's the opposite of that? Of course, bad report. But in other words, the news, headline news. Well, those are things that we are not to be dwelling upon. Now, does that mean that the Lord wants us to be a mindless, out-of-touch individual that knows what's going on in this world? Well, no, he's not saying that, but what is it that we're thinking about and dwelling upon? That's what we should be thinking about, the good news of life. Okay, we've got a live call right quick. Go ahead. You're on the air. We've got 1 minute, so go ahead.
Yes, I just want to know, How can you tell a false prophet? What does the Bible say about those that prophesy lies?
Well, thank you for the call, and we sure appreciate you calling. We'll go ahead and answer the question. And the only way to know whether someone is a false prophet or not is to compare what they are teaching with God's Word. If I were to teach, you had to poke your finger in your ear to go to heaven. First thing you'd want to know is, where does the Bible say that? Well, then if you didn't find it in there, then you could conclude, I am a false prophet or a false teacher. I'm teaching something not contained in God's Word. And so that's what we have to do. If someone teaches something wrong and you point it out to them and they still want to teach that or believe that, then obviously that person is not teaching God's Word. Now, I would encourage you to carefully look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 to show the gravity of doing something like that. And that is, they are to be eternally condemned or cursed if anyone teaches anything other than what God's Word says. Thank you so much for calling, and thank all the callers today. We're so appreciative of your listening today. We want you to tune in again next week as we let the Bible speak. But until then, you can call the Dial Bible Study at any time. The question from, let's see, I don't have a name.
No,
this is
not we don't have a name.
Okay, we don't have your name. We'll have to save your question for next week. But again, we thank you for calling, and Lord willing, we will be able to study again together as we let the Bible speak.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm reaching, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day on every beyond.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us may be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all the matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.